You're with Sounds Good, our midday music and community conversation program. I'm Austin Carter, and I'm joined in studio by Todd Hatton and by phone with author Pat Fitzhugh.
Mr. Fitzhugh, you've written quite extensively about the Bell Witch of Adams, Tennessee. I suppose we should start pretty much with the basics for those in the region that might not quite be familiar with it. Can you give us a thumbnail sketch of the Bell Witch story?
Okay, sure. Well, the Bell Witch story centers around an early pioneer family in northern Middle Tennessee who, according to legend, were terrorized by an invisible and very malevolent and misguided entity of sorts, this occurring back in the very early 1800s, and for a period of 4 years. In fact, some people say it lasted longer. Others say that this thing never even left the place.
Really? Well, I wonder, because you've also written very extensively about Southern history and Southern folklore, where would you say the story of this Bell Witch falls? Is it six one half a dozen of the other, or are we looking at something that's more folkloric in nature?
Well, the story is very eclectic. There is a lot of historical basis for that story, especially regarding the people and the places and some of the events that were actually documented by witnesses. Hmm. However, you know, as each generation came along, through the passage of time, the story has evolved, or for want of a better term, has been embellished into a much, much bigger story than what it really is. Well, but it's still a very interesting story, and the original story is a lot more spooky than some of the modern-day interpretations.
Right. Well, could you talk a little bit about some of those occurrences? From what I recall of the story, this was one nasty entity.
Oh, yes, to put it mildly. the problems in the Bell household began, fairly, I would say, pretty innocent. You know, a few knocks on the outside walls of the house, just enough to startle them and make them think it was the neighbors, playing tricks, but that turned out not to be the case. But then over time, it reached the point where the children's bed covers were being pulled back. Later on, the children and their older siblings were being physically attacked by this thing. Mm. People began to hear whispers and finally a discernible voice. And it seemed that this thing loved to gab with people, loved to argue scripture, and loved to curse at people. And all the while, nobody saw the source of this. Mm. It was, a disembodied voice and a disembodied force, and it actually grew to encompass about a 6 square mile area around the Bell Farm. And it seemed the more people learned about it and became afraid of it, the stronger it got. It's like it fed off of people's fear.
Well, it's interesting you mention that, because there's a part of the story is that Andrew Jackson found out about it and came up from Nashville to see for himself what this was. And from what I remember of the story, he left pretty quick himself.
Well, according to that story, he and his men showed up at the Bell Farm and their wagons were stopped at the property line, and then later they heard this mysterious voice tell them to go on to see John Bell, and that it would see them that night. Well, later that night, nothing happened, and one of Jackson's men began running off the mouth, saying that whatever this thing was, it was apparently afraid of him because he would kill it. Hmm. Well, as soon as he said that, he was kicked out the front door by an invisible force. And then the voice came up and said, "General, that guy is a fraud, but you have another fraud, and I will expose him tomorrow night." Well, Jackson wanted to stick around and see who the fraud was. and demanded that his men go outside and get their chance to go to sleep, and that they were going to be there for a while.
Hmm.
Well, something in the middle of the night must have changed Jackson's mind, because the next morning at daybreak, he and his men were seen riding through Springfield, Tennessee, on their way back to Nashville.
Well, there's something else I find very interesting. In your book is described, the Bellwitch, the full account, is described as a historical and journalistic analysis of this story. What does that entail?
Okay, well, the writing of the book, the compilation of the information, entailed a lot of research on my part for state, local, and in a couple of cases, federal records from courthouses and archives in several different states, as well as interviewing people who are descendants of the Bell family and descendants of others who had experienced these things, and gathering the stories. Also, a lot of information in the forms of manuscripts that I was able to find at, you know, old archive places, family Bibles, that sort of thing. That was the information I pulled. And then to analyze that information, you know, I had to look at, you know, first of all, you know, credibility of the source. Is it possible that these things could have happened? Is it not possible? You know, that sort of thing. It put an intense amount of scrutiny on each piece of information and, you know, trying to, you know, fit the pieces in the puzzle. And the challenge was that for every single one answer, I was able to uncover 20 more questions would arise. So that's what has made my research such a long, long journey.
So you will be at the McCracken County Public Library tomorrow night as part of their Evening Upstairs program talking about this book. You're going to, one presumes that you're going to flesh out more of this analysis and approach that you've taken, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. What I'm going to do in the lecture portion is tell the story, the Tennessee version of the Bellwitch legend, and add in my own, you know, bits and pieces and critiques as we go along. You know, anywhere that my research found something different than what was in the original legend.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'll take, you know, do a few question and answer parts, and then the book signing afterward.
I'm very curious. Every subculture in the United States has its own particular legends and ghost stories, but the South seems to have ones that are, I suppose you could say, darker, perhaps, than they are anywhere else. Would you say that's an accurate statement? And if it is, why do you think that is in the South?
Well, they definitely call the South the dark and bloody ground for a reason. And I think a couple of reasons why you hear more of these stories in the South. One is the South is so conducive to hauntings. You know, all the, you know, the early, you know, attacks with the Native Americans. There was a the American Revolution fought partially in the Southeast. Of course, the Civil War and the many Civil War battles, plus a lot of disasters. There's just been a whole lot of death and mayhem in the South over the years. And I think it's left behind a spiritual residue of sorts that still lingers today. And then I think the other reason that these stories are so prevalent in the South is it seems that we Southerners are more apt to recognize or perhaps even believe these things, and we're more inclined, you know, than people in a lot of other regions, to share our experiences in the form of storytelling. You know, the area is rich in folklore, and, you know, some of the ghost stories I hear are nothing but folklore. Some of them, you know, there's a little bit of history involved as well.
It does seem as though, and that's kind of surfaced in literature, I mean, with the genre of the Southern Gothic and people like Eudora Welty and William Faulkner, And what I'm hearing you say is that's as rooted in the soil as any tobacco plant, cotton plant, or magnolia tree.
Right. Southern writing, Southern storytelling has a very profound sense of place.
And that's like I said, that's very, very rooted in the culture. I mean, it seems as though the individuals have that certain sense of place. Well, Pat Fitzhugh is the author of The Bell Witch, The Full Account, and he will be giving a presentation on the book as part of the McCracken County Public Library's Evenings Upstairs program. That's tomorrow night at 7 at the McCracken County Public Library. Mr. Fitzhugh, thank you for taking the time to talk to us.
Hey, my pleasure, and looking forward to seeing everybody Thursday night.
We're Murray State's 91.3 WKMS, your home for music and news that sound good.